Now tonight, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to return to the scripture lesson that we had this morning. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I would just like to read verses 6, 7, and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is writing to this young man Timothy, and he says in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Once again, I want to call your attention to verse 7. And notice what Paul says. "I have fought, I have finished, and I have kept." For those of you that were not here this morning, I would like to reiterate what I asked all of the people that were here. What is it in your life and in my life that is hindering our relationship to Jesus Christ? We all have something. And it is that something that God wants to deal with and help us to get victory over. And we found out this morning, we spent the whole hour regarding the great fight that Paul fought. And we found out that he had quite a fight. And he said, "I have fought a great fight," and he did. And his fight was against sin. And all of us, until we're called home to glory, are going to have to fight sin. And then he says, and it's in the outline, that Paul fought a battle against self. And we went to Romans chapter 7 to find out about that, and to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. And then we found out that Paul fought against sinners. There were always those that were against him and his faith and his testimony, and they wanted to persecute him. And then we found out that Paul had one of the greatest battles of all, his battle against satanic forces, Satan himself. And we finished that. Now, before we go to the second thought, I want to read to you the statement by Gordon MacDonald in his book, Rebuilding Your Broken World. And this is how he concludes his book. "The Bible seems to suggest, through the stories of various men and women, that broken world experiences are usually the turnaround moments, ushering people into greater and more powerful performances of character, courage, and achievement." It's quite a statement. And then he says, to illustrate what a football coach was trying to express when he said to his team, "We learn almost nothing in victory, but we learn much in defeat." Now, sad is the man who is defeated and doesn't learn anything from it. We must learn through the experiences that we go through. So he says that he has fought a great fight, and that was quite a fight that he fought. Now let's go to the second thought we find here. Not only did Paul, in this first thing, to begin with the great fight that he fought, but I want you to note, secondly, as we turn over in our outline, the gallant finish that Paul exhibited. Now, let's go back to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He said, "I have finished my course." The rendering of Phillips is very challenging. Phillips has it, "The course that I was set, I have finished." Now, I want us to stay in the text, but in order to look at the race that Paul ran and he finished the course, I want to go just for a few moments to Hebrews chapter 12. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12? We're going to spend just a few moments here. Sometime in the near future, I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 12, the first six verses, and look at these. But just for tonight, I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, I lean toward the belief that Paul did not write Hebrews. It was written by someone else. But I must admit that the words that we find in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, seem not only to be Pauline in style and in tone, but also in expression. Because they characterized beautifully the type of Christian race that Paul ran. Now listen to them, and notice what he says. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. Now, how are we to run? Notice now, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, there's a lot in that where we're going to skip over, and we'll get to that in another message. But Andrew Murray, writing on these words, makes this statement. He says, one of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is remaining stationary and not advancing beyond the beginnings of Christ. And you know, that's the tragic experience of many Christians. They're just stationary. They're just treading water. They are not growing. They are not developing. Now, you know what a tragic thing that is when you see someone physically that's never developed. He's not well-rounded. Mentally, physically, socially, spiritually. You know, there's something about Jesus, the model man, that he was well-rounded. It says in the Bible, I think it's in Luke chapter 2, around verse 57, somewhere in that vicinity, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And yet it's possible for us to go down life in three wheels. We're right physically, we're right socially, we're right mentally, but we remain as babes spiritually. Remember, it was the Corinthians to whom Paul wrote, and he said, I can't feed you with meat because you're yet carnal. I can only give you milk. There is among you division, discord, discontent. He said, you're acting as though that you don't know the Lord at all. And this can happen to those of us who are Christians if we aren't careful. Now, it didn't happen to the Apostle Paul. He's coming toward the end of life, and notice what he says. The gallant finish that Paul exhibited. I have finished the race. Now, the Apostle Paul is now drawing special attention to the athletic arena, the running track, which provided for him many lessons regarding the Christian life. First of all, we ought to know tonight that there is a beginning. Paul began his Christian race about 30 years before this. He started on the race on the road to Damascus. It was there that he met the risen Christ. You can remember, a voice came from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Saul looked up and he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus told him what he should do. And right there, in the dust of the Damascus road, Saul of Tarsus became a Christian. And he started his race for Jesus Christ. Now, what a day that was for Paul. He never could forget it. As a matter of fact, as you read his writings, he talked often about it. And this was the star that Paul is talking about in our text. That's where it began. Now, you can go back in your Christian life, and you can remember that day That moment, that night, that place, when you stepped out of the old life into the new life and you became a Christian, you started your race. And you and I have been running ever since. Now, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It lasts a lifetime. But there is a beginning. It could be that there might be someone here tonight that you've never started on the race because you've never been born again. You've never become a Christian. You've never received Christ as your Savior. In order to be in the race, first of all, you've got to enter. And you enter at the starting point. And that's when you accept Jesus Christ to be your Savior. But I want you to notice also, according to the outline, there must be a course. Now, notice what it says. It's interesting. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 1. And let us run the race with patience. Now, notice the words. The race that is set before us. Now, that's the course. The race that is before us. That's the running track, which is the road of life, which stretches out before our eyes. Now, this running track, this race, this course, it's not finished in a day. It takes a lifetime to complete. And remember tonight that God selects the path, He selects the road, He decides the way, and He chooses the path that each one of us are going to follow. We don't. He does. And this path for each and every one of us is different. We won't face the same problems. We won't go over the same road. We won't go over the same hills. There's going to be more mountains for some people to climb that God doesn't give to everyone. Why? I don't know. One day in His sovereign grace, He's going to tell us. And there are some that never finish the race because, well, they finish the race from God's point of view if He takes them to heaven because they're ready to go. But there are so many that start out and never continue. They drop out along the wayside for many different reasons. But what we need to understand here is that it is significant that Paul makes no claim that he ever won the race. He doesn't tell us that. We don't know if he won it or not. But what we do know is that he stayed the course. He endured to the end. And that's what counts. As a matter of fact, that's the only thing that's going to count. And each and every one of us ought to make sure that we stay the course. Now, notice also here that there must be concentration. We're still in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, the words there in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, are rendered by the New Living Translation, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Or Phillips has it, our eyes fixed on Jesus. It is absolutely imperative as we run the Christian race that we keep our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. Because if you don't, and if I don't, you can be sure we're going to stumble. How many Christians have gone astray and have been handicapped in the process because they have taken their eyes off the supreme example, Jesus Christ, and put them on the onlooking crowd around them? Now, this is one thing that Paul wouldn't do. There was concentration. And then I want you to note, there was commitment, the persistency and the perseverance that characterized the life and the race that Paul ran. Time doesn't permit us tonight to go over to Philippians, but I just want you to listen to what I gleaned going through the book of Philippians regarding the race that Paul ran. Now listen to this. Chapter 3, verse 12, I press on. Chapter 3, verse 12, lay hold. Chapter 3, verse 13, reaching forward. Chapter 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark. All of these expressions picture the Christian runner bent forward with their eyes on the goal, stretching forth in pursuit of the goal. See, that's what each and every one of us wants to make sure, that we cross the finish line, that we reach the goal. I'm just doing a message on Hebrews chapter 12, the glory of reaching the goal. Forget about winning the race. There will be some stars. But the most important thing is that we cross the goal line. Because so many start and they stumble. We don't see them any longer. Think of the scores of people that you have known that have come to church. And because of little petty, insignificant reasons, they allow that to foul up their lives and they're no longer running the Christian life. They've fallen by the wayside. Now, Paul had come to the end of the Christian race. The contest had been a long one and a difficult one. He began it many years ago. He stayed the course. He kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. He triumphantly finished the course. And yet we ought to get this down. Not all Christians run well or finish the race. Remember it when Paul was writing to the believers at Galatia? And he said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 from the Phillips translation, "You were making splendid progress. Who put you off your course?" In other words, something happened. They didn't continue to run. Go back to the text tonight in 2 Timothy for just a moment. Let me show you what I mean. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Our text is verse 7. Now go down to verse 10. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." And here Paul writes about one who took his eyes off Jesus and was sidetracked. He failed to finish the race. He failed to complete the course. He says he loved the world. He loved the world. What does the Bible say in 1 John? If anyone loved the world, the love of the Father is not in his heart. And it means they are the things of the world. Anything that comes between you and Christ. Let me ask you, do these words describe you tonight? The words that I've just read, three verses from our text. Demas, who didn't finish. You know, you could even go in the Old Testament. One of the greatest kings who ever lived was King Saul. And yet somewhere along the line, he took his eyes off God. And you know the end of his life. This happens all the time. John Mark, although John Mark came back. But not so of Paul. He had a gallant finish, keeping his eyes on God's Son, Jesus Christ. He completed the marathon. He stayed faithful to the end. He crossed the finish line. Hear Paul's words again. He's coming toward the end of life. "I have finished the race." I wonder if you and I, when we come to the departing of the way, if we're going to be able to say that. "I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've finished." Well, let's go to the next little division there on your outline. Notice now, having thought of the great fight that Paul fought and the great finish that Paul exhibited, I want you to think of the godly faith that Paul kept. Now notice he writes, "I have kept the faith." Now the word "kept" means guard. He guarded the faith. And is rendered correctly by Weymouth this way: "I have guarded the faith."
It's the idea of keeping and being faithful to one's trust. It's almost like a marriage vow. Forsaking all others, unto thee do I love, do I hold to, do I cherish.
The New Living Translation has Paul saying, I have remained faithful. That's what he's saying as he comes to the end of life. And the question arises, to what was this amazing disciple of the first century, this apostle from Tarsus, remained faithful? Well, he was faithful to the body of truth that God gave him. His personal faith in Jesus Christ had not wavered, even though he had been severely persecuted and wrongfully imprisoned. Instead of denying his loyalty to Christ, which he could have done, he declared it and he defended it on many occasions. I honestly do not know of a more dedicated and devoted servant to Jesus Christ than this astonishing first century Christian. There's nobody that I'd love to preach on more than the Apostle Paul. Unbelievable. Other than Jesus, the greatest missionary of the first century, and probably in the history of the church. Listen to his words. These are Paul's words now. Romans chapter 1, verses 14, 15, and 16. I'm in debt, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's Paul. I'm ready. I'm in debt. I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel. And you know, Paul must have known that once he reached Rome, he prayed for a prosperous journey, according to Romans chapter 1. He said he wanted to come to Rome, this great metropolitan area, to give them and to have more fruit. He wanted converts. And what happened when Paul got to Rome? Thrown in prison. Thrown in prison. And yet he was faithful to the body of truth that was entrusted to him. Because you know what he did? Even while he was in prison, now think of this. He was tied to guards 24 hours a day around the clock. Every 6 hours, like, they change guards. And the Bible says, according to the book of Philippians, that Paul witnessed to the Praetorian Guard that was made up about 10,000 soldiers. And while he was in prison, the guards he would witness to. And the Bible says, Philippians says, Paul says, that the gospel made progress in the Praetorium. Those soldiers accepted Christ. Imagine, right there in Rome, right under Nero's leadership, the gospel was being proclaimed. He recognized that life was given to him for a purpose, and he couldn't abuse it, and he couldn't misuse it. And one day, the eternal judge, he had to stand before to give an accounting of how he, as a steward of life, had kept the faith. Now that raises the question, how do we measure up regarding this aspect of Paul's life? Do we share our testimony? Do we use our time? Do we fulfill our opportunities of promoting the work and the cause of the kingdom? This is the only important thing that mattered to the Apostle Paul. There was a boy whose mother was a Roman Catholic and his father was an agnostic. They both separated before this boy was born. When the boy was young, he grew up in Philadelphia and he was raised by his grandmother, whose husband was an alcoholic. Time after time, as a little lad, he would wander through the bars and the saloons of Philadelphia, picking up pretzels in order to feed himself because he didn't get enough food at home. He would constantly find his grandfather in various stages of intoxication. And he learned how to pick his grandfather's pocket, which his grandmother told him to do because she realized that if he didn't get the check, it would be totally spent on booze. 9 years of age now, hating school like everything, and the despair of his teachers. He's playing marbles on the street. And a man came along and said, "Do you go to Sunday school?" "No." "Would you like to come? I'm the Sunday school teacher, and I would love to have you come to the class." The boy looked up and said, "I wouldn't promise." So instead of hurrying on, the man squatted down beside the boy and said, "Can I play a game of marbles with you?" The boy said, "Yes." And the boy said that the man wiped him out. He was just so clever. And then the man said to him, "Would you really like to learn how to play marbles?" The boy said, "I sure would." The man said, "I'll teach you." And the boy said that he taught him to play and that he could almost wipe anybody out on the block. The boy went to Sunday school, to the man's class. And the man led this boy to Jesus Christ. In the class at that time, there were 13 boys. 9 of them were victims of broken families. 5 of them were Roman Catholics. Out of the 13 boys, 11 boys were won to Christ by their Sunday school teacher. And they went into Christian careers and were an honor to Jesus Christ. Do you know what that man's name was? Maybe some of you have heard it. Howard Hendricks, the professor of Christian education at Dallas Theological Seminary for many years. The author of many books. You can get him in almost any Christian library. Traveling across this country, lecturing. Now think of it. A stop, marbles, identification with the boy at the point of the boy's acute interest. Love. Outgoing. Christ-like love. And a Howard Hendricks who made himself available to meet a little boy's need. What was he doing? He was keeping the faith. Because what is the faith? The faith is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The faith is sharing with others the truth of what it means to be a Christian. That's what we do when we teach Sunday school. That's what we do when we sing in the choir. We all have our different aspects, but we are keeping the faith. And Paul has come to the end of his life and he says, "I've kept the faith." And he did. Do you know he went on 3 missionary trips? He went up and down Asia Minor, across the Arabian Desert. He went into towns, into synagogues, into gatherings. And he preached a message to the meaning and the mastery of living. I wonder, is it going to be said of us as it was said of Paul and Hendricks? That we kept the faith in living it before others and sharing it with others? That's the question. The great fight that Paul fought, the gallant finish that Paul exhibited, the godly faith that Paul kept, you put them all together and you got a capstone. And that's the final thought. The glorious future. The glorious future that Paul anticipated. And not only Paul, but us as well. You can read about it there in verse 8. Read it with me. "Now there is in store for me," Paul says, "the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. And this is the reward that waits the believer for having
kept the faith that has been entrusted to them and remaining faithful to the end. That's why it's so important that you finish the course. You say, Pastor Reg, but I've been knocked down. Get up again and get back in the race. But I've been defeated. Get up again and get back in the race. The worst thing in the world is to stay down. That's the temptation, to stay down. Aren't you glad when you go through experiences and you are down that there's always somebody that there seems to be, that God just seems to tap on the shoulder and they'll come to your rescue and say, don't look at it that way. Get up. Go on. Use that experience. And that's what Paul is talking about. I close my message realizing that if I had used this morning, there could have been those that might have been here that were not saved. And they don't have the hope that Paul describes here. And if death were to come to them, they would not, like Paul, be ready to meet God. But we can skip over that, because as I look at the audience tonight, I think all of you know Jesus. But if you don't, you need to start your race, and it starts at a definite point. There's a definite beginning. And all I say to you, this is where it starts. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, and you recognize what you are, you're a sinner, and then you realize what He is, He's the Savior, and then you receive by faith Jesus Christ to become your lasting salvation. That's the beginning. But for those of us who are on, we're running, we need to close by just this encouragement. Continue running. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. Matter of fact, He said, count the cost before you come. Count the cost. And my Bible says many went away sorrowful because they couldn't meet the demands that Jesus laid down. But they aren't that difficult. Once you know what He's done for you, that's why Paul says, I'm in debt. Why do you think he ever thought that he was in debt? How many of us tonight think we're in debt to people? Well, yeah, we are, basically, to answer the question. But many of us don't realize that we are really in debt. Jesus Christ has put us so much in debt because He paid our penalty. So we owe it to Him. And in owing it to Him, we owe it to others to give the good news of the gospel. See? So notice now again at the very beginning here, the swan song of a serene, peaceful, tranquil saint. Go through the writings of Paul, and let me tell you something in closing. Paul never spoke about death. Do you know that? You check it up. He never spoke about death. You know what he did? He spoke to death. He did. He had the peace about it. He looked death right in the face. And you know what he said over there in Corinthians? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is thy power? You're not going to bother me. Notice what he said now. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See? Let's pray.